Thank you.
Oh, okay. So so then there's matzah, there's chazaras, there's charosis, and the shnei tavshilin. One is can I get the pesach, and one is can I get the chagiga. Okay, so Jacob. Okay, so that according to Tanakhama, the only thing which isn't, you know, related to a mitzvah here is the charoses, right? Because matzah, we, you know, is a mitzvah. Maror, at least, was a mitzvah d'orais in the days of Korban Pesach, and the Shnei Tavshilin are reminiscent of a mitzvah. So the charoses is the, you know, charoses is unfortunately the odd man out. Okay.
Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Amar mitzvah.
That's what Tzadok says, not so fast, even the charoses is a mitzvah. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Afal pisha in charoses mitzvah. So the Tanakhama, you know, like, what's his point? So vi'ilo mitzvah, so like, then what's it doing there, right? There's no mitzvah. In fact, it's ruining. It's ruining the Seder, right? Because there should be four. It would be great. Can you imagine if we had four things on the Seder plate also? Think about how many drushes the kindergarten teachers would have about that. It would be about the imahos, and, you know, it would be great. So then what's it there for? So Amar Rav Ami Mishum Kafa. So Kafa means it's supposed to
mitigate the...
Yeah, exactly. The
so it's in the Maror.
Yeah, exactly. It's just for the Maror. So you would expect that we would put the Charoses onto the Maror so that... You know, again, it's actually interesting. When you read the Gemara in the Rishonim, you get the impression that people would, like, die of maror if it wasn't for the charoses. It sounds like a little bit overkill. Like,
you talk about, like, how like, yeah.
Eres de maror, the poison of the maror. It's just amazing, like, you know, like...
Raw horseradish is very strong.
No, I know, but, like, you know, it's one thing, like, you know, people turn red and they get a little, you know, uncomfortable, they cough a little bit, but again, I'm just saying, like, if you get the impression reading the Gemara in the Rishonim that people are, like, going down, that, like, oh, you know... you know, Uncle Arthur had to be hospitalized this year because of the Mara.
It was in general, you know, people fasted for 3 days, the Mara was much more, I mean, everything they did was just much more
right.
extreme than
anything
right. we
did. Exactly, everything's been streamlined. So, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok Omer Mitzvah, so he thinks it's a mitzvah. It's like, well, what do you mean it's a mitzvah? Like, where does it say in the Torah that you should have charoses? So, my mitzvah. So, Blevi Omer, oh, when we mean mitzvah, we mean that it's you know, facilitating certain aspects of the evening. Zecher l'tapuach. It's a reminder of the Big Apple. So what's the Big Apple? What's the tapuach?
Wasn't it the ashes that they gathered on the mizbeach?
It's true. So that's a tapuach in a totally different context, right? There was ashes that would make they would ashes they would heap on the mizbeach, and actually this week's parsha, right? Trumas hadeshen. But it would be in the shape of an apple.
Yeah.
But that's not this apple.
I thought this was the tapuach that the wives. With their husbands under.
Yeah. Yeah, so what was the story? Right, so, but like, we just give us the
basically,
background. Basically,
her
mom
could kill all the children, and the men didn't want to have children anymore, and the women would, like, be, you know, seducing their husbands under the apple trees. So therefore, they perpetuated the...
Okay, so that's a slightly different version of the standard. Hi, I'm Daniel. Welcome. Okay. So the slightly different version of the more commonly one is Tachas Atapuach Oraticha, Shama Chibas Chaimecha, Shama Chiba Yolodascha, but a very similar point that basically the women would deliver the babies under the Tapuach. Let's just call it for now an apple tree. There's some controversy over that. And so we remember the heroism of the Jewish women, too, as Victoria said, to, you know, go ahead and still want to invest in the future, even though the men were kind of ready to, you know, to give up. And so the for Reb Levi's point of view, the tapuach is reminiscent of the heroism of the Jewish women. Reb Yochanan Amar, Zecher Letit. Reb Yochanan says it's a commemoration of the mortar. So, Joe, what is the Nekudas HaMachokas between Reb Levi and Reb Yochanan? They're obviously arguing about, you know, what the connotation is, the tapuach or the teeth, but if you had to sharpen the categories, what are they really debating about the nature of charoses as a mitzvah?
Well,
what's the essential dispute?
The essential dispute seems to be whether there's a positive or a negative.
Very good. Excellent. Very good. So, Amar Abai, nicely done. Hilchach tzarech lekuhuyeh v'sarech lesmuchay. Because we want to pay homage both to Reb Levi's version and Reb Yochanan's version, you make it sharp, so it connotes the taste of a tapuach, maybe like a Granny Smith apple, right? A little bit of a sharper taste. And tzarech lesmuchay, you should make it thick, in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan, right, who says it's reminiscent of the mortar. So again, Abaye seems to say that what? That dough, it has, what's Abaye's point of view? I mean, just, exactly, that it has a, and what should that be reminiscent for us of, apropos yesterday's discussion? Which?
It's a matzah.
Good, because it has the dialectic. Right, very important. That the, right, exactly. Okay, so the kuye zeichel tabuach sarach lesmuche zeichel tit. So Tani kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan's view. Tavlin zeichel teben. That the what are tavlin? Victoria, right? So that spices should go into the charosis because that's reminiscent of what?
Little gritty things should be.
Right, the teben, the straw. And charosis as an institution is zeichel tit. So that there's more evidence, at least the Tanaically, to support Rabbi Yochanan. So why would Teven require its own commemoration outside of the general mortar? In other words, the general Abdus. Why does Teven need to be remembered separately?
Those are the second level of when Moshe came,
right, the first
to go
thing.
And cut the Teven for themselves.
Exactly. What was Paro's reaction in three words? Nirpim atem nirpim, you're lazy, alkein atem omrim, nilchan is bechala alkein, right? That this whole issue of, you know, the Jewish people wanting to do religious stuff is because they weren't working enough. Only people who are lazy would ask to do religious things, right? Which is an amazing point of view, and tells you a lot about Paro's perspective on religion. Again, you know, he made much of his, you know, religion, but the true colors had a way of coming out. So Amar Blazer Bar Bitzadok, he brings a proof here. Kach hayu omrim tigrei charach, Shebi Yerushalayim. So said the sellers of the Charach in Yerushalayim. What are Charach? I want to know what it is and where we have that word in Tanakh, in this time of year especially.
Jesus,
what's that?
Jesus,
yeah, but what does the actual word Charach mean?
Let's bring it up on your phone.
That's fine. I don't everyone's centered technology here. But this Rashi can't help you with.
No.
But the Rashbam could if you had that. Ooh, very good. Okay, so what does that normally mean? What did the Rav say about that in Kol Dodi Dofek, that this is our relationship with Hashem? Meitzitz min acharakim, that God is peering through the lattice. In other words, so Dov, what does it mean that there are Tigrei Charach Shebi Yerushalayim? That how must the stores have looked? Right, the stores had little windows, right, through which you could see the owner, and they would sell you wares from inside the store. So kachayu omim tigrei charach shabirushalayim bo'u b'tolu lachem tavlin l'mitzvah. Come and buy from me tavlin for your mitzvah. In other words, because they're going to go into your spices are going to go into your charosis. So this is a raya for a blazer b'reb tzadok that tavlin are indeed a mitzvah against the Tanakhama, who says it's just, you know, something that we have. Okay, so a blazer b'reb tzadok,
he's cloning the store owners as a proof.
Well, exactly, and why is that? Why is this? Leaving aside the fact that it's not a rabbinic source, but why would one, you know?
No, but it's a Masorah source, right? It's basically assuming this is what people knew.
But again, why might this be questionable? Mark is a commercial expert. Why would we say that this is what we would call nogeya b'davar?
A commercial interest.
They say, right? It's like somebody selling large shirim of matzah. You need a big shear. So, okay, you know, again, nothing new here. So you have a machlokas tanaim, is charoses a mitzvah, is it not a mitzvah? Based on the simple shakla vatari of the Gemara, whose opinions does the Gemara spend more time trying to figure out? Just on the basis of real estate, nothing alone. Here you have the Gemara. Yeah, Mark? Right, exactly. So Tosfos makes the diuk. Take a look here at the third source. So Mashva de Halacha, Ki Rabbi Elazar Breb Tzadok. Right, because the whole Gemara seems according to him. And then a little bit further in terms of the symbolism of the Charoses. So Dov already pointed out that there's a dialectical aspect to the Charoses, right, based on Reb Levi and Reb Yochanan. Reb Levi says it's a reminder of the heroism of the Jewish people. Reb Yochanan says it's a reminder of the suffering of the Jewish people, and Abaye said it's both. Okay, so for Yerushalmi, what about the Yerushalmi's tradition? Amar Yista Abdi Zecher L'Dam ומשום החיקרי להטיבו לבמשקה וכן אם הדבר לסמוכי ושעס אכילה מקל שנוסו ביין ובחומץ. That what's the composition of the charoses is that you have to make it not only zecher to all the things we saw in the Bavli, which were teben, tit, tapuach, etc. We had to know a fourth element being added in, which is zecher le. So if it's dam, right, what's the composition of blood?
Red liquid.
Right, exactly. It's a more liquid, like plasma-based composition, and so therefore you'd have to make it slightly more liquidy as opposed to the thick composition recommended in the Bavli. But the Yerushalmi hasn't turned its back on the thicker composition referenced in the Bavli, so what do? You make it in two different stages, right? When you first make it, the smuche, right, you make it thick, and then at the table you make it thinner, right? In other words, you do what I like to call the charoses transfusion, and you turn it into blood, okay, by pouring in some amount of liquid, okay? So, v'tshuvas ha'gaonim mefarish lasos charosos bepeiro shenidmeh l'knesses Yisrael b'shir ashirim tachas ha'tapuach oraticha kefelach hamimon rakaseich ha'teinach antaf ha'geha. All these beautiful references in Shir Ashirim that you put in the kinds of fruits, right, dried fruits that the Jewish people have been compared to in Shir Ashirim. Amarti alev v'tamar, elginas ha'goz yaradati. So this Tshuva Sagaonim Dov, whose opinion in the Gemara does it seem to pick up on?
I guess the opinion that it's almost like it's not a mitzvah.
Well, that's in the Tanakh, but in the Gemara, which...
It's like
Abaye. But where did Abaye get his view? Right, exactly. It picks up on Rabbi Levi, right, because it's saying it's highlighting the Geula dimensions of the Charoses, right? The Shir HaShirim dimensions of the Charoses, clearly. Okay, so you have a dialectical perspective in the Charoses through the Bavli and the Rishamli. So how do we pass? And again, the
Bavli... Why is it Rabbi Levi?
Well, Rabbi Levi again highlighted the fact that the Charoses is symbolic of the heroism of the Jewish people.
They therefore then import all of the everything from.
Well, I'm saying it's in that kivun, right? Because it talks about all the unbreakable bonds between God and the Jewish people, which is what Shir HaShirim is ultimately about. So it's in that kivun. It's obviously a slightly different iteration of Rabbi Levi, but it's certainly based on that direction. And it's not a surprise that it starts with Tachas HaTapuach Orar Ticha. Okay. So again, the Bavli Tosos are partial to Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, in which case Charoses is indeed a mitzvah. Okay, so Victoria, you want to read the parish on Mishnah to the Rambam?
Rabbi Tzadok, Shomer Charos a mitzvah, Hayav Lada'atel Lavarach Asher Kishana Mitzvah Tzimano Al Achilat Charoset, Me'in Halacha.
So who does the Rambam Paskin like?
He Paskin is like in Mishnah.
The Tanakhama, it's not a mitzvah, but the Rambam says if you, Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok position that it's a mitzvah, of course, you'd have a Birchas HaMitzvah, as you would on the Mara, as you do on the Matzah, right? Okay, so that's, right, it's a Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Balitos of the Rambam, who do we pass? Come on.
Right.
Okay, very good. So, now let's take a look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Okay, so, wasn't read yet. Mark, you want to read the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah?
Arba Akasot Ha'elet Tarich.
Okay, so let me just interrupt Mark for a second here, is that the four cups have to be made with the... By the way, this is exactly where we picked it up yesterday, just picked up exactly where we left off, right? So that the shtia has to be areva, right? It has to be pleasant for the people, because again, what's the din according to the Rambam? The four cups are supposed to be dove, symbolic of? Which aspect?
Cheres,
exactly. So that's why you have to enjoy it. So the Rav was machmir on this li'kuva. He says if a person doesn't like the kind of wine that they're drinking, they're not yotze. And it's very important. It has to be hakol lefi das hashoses. So for example, I don't enjoy red wine very much, even though there are deos and rishonim that red wine is better, because red wine also connotes blood, which I think is ironic, that the four cups, you'd have a zechel adam in it. That's an ultimate dialectic. I am machmir to have white wine for all four cups, based on, because I'm choshesh for the sheet of the Rambam, zakol lefi das hashosa. So this is a machokes paposkim. Moshe Feinstein felt that you couldn't really be yotze with grape juice for the dalet kosos. Okay, that's the way Moshe felt. He said that you should force yourself to have wine, even if you don't like it. The Rav felt, what would we say in Yiddish about this? He didn't just disagree. He felt punkt fakert, right? Exact opposite. Punkt fakert means exact opposite, that not only, right, in that situation, should you force yourself to have wine? He felt you couldn't be Yotzi with the wine if you didn't like it. You had to have grape juice, okay? Ravadi also thinks you could have grape juice, just so we can be culturally diverse. But, what's that?
So I try to mix it, make it a little...
Okay, but according to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv. Okay.
Yeah, I just fix it out in the morning.
Okay.
It'll be so much better.
Okay. So, in other words, the composition of the kosos, to stress this point, the composition of the kosos is important. You have to make it in such a way that it's shtia areva. Okay, Mark? Nach weiter.
Von Paket. V'lo yivchot v'arbatan meruvidit yan chai, shata arba kosak, ele miyayin she'ena mizud yatsa yedei arba'a kosak, v'lo yatsa ayedei chirut.
Okay, that if you had the four cups, they weren't prepared in a way that it was, tasty. So you would fail to fulfill the mitzvah of dalet kosos in toto, right? You would only have fulfilled a part of it.
Right.
The parallel opposite. Okay. So then the Rambam then goes on to discuss some other things about the shiurim. So we don't have to do that for now.
Yeah. So then you. Starts to speak about Haroset. Haroset, mitzvah, medivei sofrim, zecher letit, shayachotin, bobe mitzrayim.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's read that line again.
So, Haroset, mitzvah, medivei sofrim, zecher letit, shayachotin, bobe mitzrayim.
So now, Dove, what just happened?
He now switched from saying that it wasn't a mitzvah, you don't need a bracha, to now he's saying it's a mitzvah, medivei sofrim.
Okay, so previously in the parish of Mishnah, it was just the Rambam again completed when he was...
18.
Right, so we're all allowed to make mistakes in our adolescence. So the Rambam switched his point of view, and he says, you know, in fact, I do think we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok. Okay, what's that? Right, well, no, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok in the time, that's a mitzvah, and in terms of the Amoraim, he says it connotes, as Rabbi Yochanan thought, zecher letit. And why did he pick Rabbi Yochanan? For the obvious reason that the Braisa, which is brought by the Gemara, supports Rabbi Yochanan. Tanik of us, Rabbi Yochanan, right, Tablin zeicher tevin charoses zeicher letit. Okay. What? Just one second. Let's go a little bit further, Victoria, and then let's let Mark finish it off, and then we'll try to figure out what in the world happened to the Rambam. I mean, again, was this some kind of a midlife crisis? This is, you know, like Kate Ashbury. What happened? Okay.
Does he list his changes?
What's that?
Does the Rambam list his?
That work is left for us to do. We have a whole team of graduate students.
Is this like a Straussian?
No. This happens very commonly that the Rambam will change his mind in the parish of Mishnah as the Mishnah Torah. I keep a team of undocumented graduate students in the basement to work on this, 24/7.
When Leo Strauss wrote his Persecution and Art of Writing, like, he specifically addressed the Rambam as one of the great writers who buries his hidden meaning in contradictions. And
yeah, I'm aware.
Orem Nevuchim was what he wrote the introduction about.
I'm aware. I consider Strauss the Oliver Stone of academics.
But he doesn't explain what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I know. I'm very familiar with Strauss's work on the Mor Nevuchim, where he thinks the Rambam,
That's what I mean. He wrote it about Mor Nevuchim,
right,
not about the Hafez.
Right. So no, this is nothing to do. This is nothing to do with Strauss. We can talk about Strauss another time, but Strauss is convinced that the Rambam was some,
conspiracy.
It's an ironic conspiracy theory, because the Rambam is no problem taking on all. It's like the Rambam was afraid. The whole premise of the Rambam was afraid to say what he really thought.
Right.
But the ironic thing, you read the Rambam's tshuva, is the Rambam is vitriolic.
Yeah.
Right. He picked the worst guy to say. He was picked some nice guy. Okay. So, any event.
Okay. The Ketzad Osin Ota Lokhin Tamarim O Grogra.
Yeah. Dried food.
Samukin the Piyosi Bahen the Dorsin Ota the Notnin the Tochen Chametz.
Right. Okay, so the Rambam is very partial to all the avdus, the avdus themes, right, are being stressed here, right? The tablin, the teben, right, the smuche. So the Rambam is definitely partial to the perspective in the Gemara. Again, we saw that the Gemara had a dialectical view, certainly in the Maid Yerushalmi, right, with the Dam, and at the same time the Tshuva Sagaonim that speaks about the Peros. But be that as it may, right, the Rambam's highlighting all the obvious points of view, and here we have clearly the Rambam changed his opinion, He thought in his younger days that the Tanakhama was the halacha, and then he changed his mind just as the Balatosis paskin, the Kerbazer Bar Tzadok, it's a mitzvah. The Rambam also paskins that it's indeed a mitzvah. Okay, so Mark, just let's finish it off.
I collect Mara and a mitzvah in Hatara, and the Knatsma, Ella, Tuluya Hiva, Achila Pesach, Shemitvah Asay, Achat Lechol, Basah Pesach, Al Hamatu Mamakumarorim. In the Divrei Sofrim, Echol Hamarar, the Bada Belelze, Apila Ein Sham Karban Pesach.
Okay, which is what we do today. So now we've put it all together. Now, what's the more significant shift in the Rambam? Yes, it's true. The Rambam does change his mind, and he switches from paskening like the Tanakhama to Rabbi Lezer Berbi Tzadok. But what is the real point?
It's not about Achila. Bring it to the table. I mean, the Mishnah talks about having it there and bringing it to the table, and then it goes with the Maror alone. There's no specific bracha for Achilat
Karosa. So the Rambam, this is Sharp and Victoria's category. What did the Rambam really change his mind about? And then you'll appreciate how the Rambam didn't exactly change his mind. What the Rambam did is he reevaluated what Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadok was saying. So just sharpen, Victoria, just sharpen the categories a drop. You absolutely have it on the right track. Just sharpen it a little bit. Jacob, what would you say? The Rambam, right, reformulated his conception of Karosas from a Dinan X to a Dinan Y. In the Parish HaMishnayos, he thought that the Charoses was a din in Achila, and that's why it would require Birchas Achila. That's what Rabbi Lezer Betzadok is saying, and he's saying to himself, well, that's not the Halacha. There's no din of Achila's Charoses. But then he reevaluated and he said, no, Rabbi Lezer Betzadok wasn't ever saying that there's a din of Achila's Charoses. What's he saying? There's a din of?
It's more like a Sipur
Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that we can paskin like, and that's why the Rambam said that is lehalacha, and that's why there's no bracha that appears in the Mishnah Torah, and that's why the Rambam is very careful to say that what's the mitzvah of the charoses? Not to eat it, but mivin oso al shulchan lele pesach. Now, Victoria, make your last diuk. And how do we know that this is exactly correct? Because what are the next words in the Rambam?
Achilas
mar. So the mar is takadin in the achila. Whereas the charoses is a din in Mevi and Osal Shulchan Belele Pesach. Now explain why.
So in the Rambam's constellation, you have matzah, which is unique in that it is both achila and sipor. You have mar, which is just achila, and charoses, which is just sipor.
Well, okay, and then, well, we're going to put that, you did exactly the work that we're leading into. So I think those formulations are good, but we need to refine them just a little bit. But Mark gets a lot of credit because he's now putting it in terms of the bigger picture and trying to see the whole thing at once. So the Rav was Mitzayan, that the Rambam obviously switched his view about this. But now just show the trajectory of why the Rambam is putting Charoses smack in between the Maror and the Arba Kosos. Because the Arba Kosos, right, the drinking of them themselves, obviously, right, but is a din in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's a din in the Chayr. So Chayv Adam Maharas is Atzma Kiilu Batzma Yatzim Mitzrayim, which is why you have the Dalit Kosos to begin with. But what did the Rambam go on about in terms of making sure that they really are playing their Sipur function there, Dove?
I'm not sure implicitly what you're thinking. It looks like the Rambam says that from the base of the Chilas Maror, the Vado is not.
Well, now, going back to the Dalit Kosos, what did the Rambam stress about the Dalit Kosos? Not just their drinking, but their composition. The Rambam spends a lot of time trying to, that's why we read that, but you have to make sure the composition is right to connote the dimension of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim that he's interested in.
More than usual? I mean, I feel like it's usually pretty... No,
because...
You
have to enjoy them, and he explains how do you have to like them, you have to make it in a particular way. Then he goes straight from there into the charoses, where he says, okay, here the totality is in the composition, that's why the Rambam tells you exactly what the recipe is. He never says you eat it right here, just says you put it on the shulchan, and then he moves from there into a maror, which is really a din in the achila. I think it also connotes a dimension of sipur, just in a less sophisticated way than the matzah, because remember the matzah has both dimensions of the seaport. It has the geula component, right? Because we do the heseba, but then it also has the oni component because of the prisas hamatsa. Okay, so you see that this is exactly what's going on for the Rambam in terms of the horses. Yeah, Dov, go ahead.
The Rambam saying though that Achilas Maror is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah when there's no korakasa.
He's saying it's knocked down from a doraisa to derabbanan.
But it's still a mitzvah. In other words, a mitzvah is a mitzvah.
Sure. He says, Achilas Mara ain't a mitzvah mina Torah b'fnei atzma, However, if he did Risofrim, Lachol Hamar Levado
Belelza. But he doesn't say mitzvah.
Oh, yeah, no. It's clear it's a mitzvah, Sachila, Midir Risofrim. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now, based on everything that we did yesterday, and you'll see now why we went in a very particular order, now that we understand that matzah has a dual component, there's a mitzvah achilas matzah, b'erev tochel matzos, matzah qua matzah, then there's a mitzvah of matzah in terms of the role it plays in Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim, both the geula and the oni, and now we know that charoses, in terms of having its presence on the table, the Rambam thought that Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok was saying, is that that also is part of the props that we use for Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim. But now, pardon the pun, with the charoses, the plot, nicely done. Okay. Dov, why don't you read the last Rambam, source number 6.
Okay.
So there you go, Dov. There you have it. Explicitly, the Rambam thinks that Mara is still mitzvah divrei. And we know why the charoses is on the Mara. The charoses on the Mara, as the Gemara says, to make sure that, you know, it's not overwhelming us. Okay. Just let's finish it off. Okay, so now we have the third component. We said that matzah, right, number one, you sacrifice lechem mishnah for lechem oni, for the Rambam, number one. Number two, it has to be eaten beheseba, because that's part of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Cheres direction. Now we have a third dimension, which is now you dip the matzah in the charoses. And that's part of the mitzvah achilas matzah. So let's just take a look at the Ravid in the first footnote. Mm-hmm. Dov?
Okay, so Choser.
Okay. Which is not a compliment. Right. So what is the Ravid? Right.
I have a slow reaction. I'm just trying to
catch up. But we don't.
You don't do that.
You don't do what?
You don't dip the matzah in the charoses? No. Then the mitzvah of achilas matzah, you don't dip it in the charoses? You're not machmer for shifas Rambam? You've accepted this hasaga of the Ravid as definitive?
Apparently so.
Are you a silent endorser of Zeh Hevel? I once actually... Okay. You can ask my cousins about this. But one year, you know, I wanted to exact ultimate revenge on the Rambam. So when I was dipping my matzah into my charoses, during my mitzvah achilas matzah, I had my younger siblings hold up signs, Zeh Eino Hevel.
This was a fun family. They knew how to really get wild at the same time.
Oh, they all know. They all know. I make them talk about it. There's a whole regimen here of Pesach that they go through.
What is the Rambam's first statement? I know this is kind of off the topic, but...
Oh, so you know what then? Let's just hold off and let's just pin down the Machlokas Rambam Ravid, then we'll come back to whatever issues. Okay, so Mark, give us the Hesper. Tell us why the Rambam felt so strongly about this.
Why he felt so strongly?
What are you doing? What's the nature of charoses according to the Rambam? And why is it obvious that, of course, you're going to dip the matzah into the charoses? The matzah isn't just a mitzvah achilas matzah, qua achilas matzah.
That's also part of the Sipur.
It has to have the part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So and now we know that charoses isn't a mitzvah achila, that charoses is a mitzvah in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The primary thing is to have it there, right? Because its very composition tells a story. But, right, and according to the different views in the Gemara, some of them tells a story of heroism, for some of them tells a story of suffering. For the Rambam, primarily, it's a story of suffering, but the Rambam, who believes that the mitzvah achilas matzah has a secondary component, which is that it itself is part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you put it in a dip, which connotes also Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, on which side?
So that's where you can look at it that, well, you can look at it both ways. You can really approach it from a dialectical analysis. You can say, if and to the extent that the matzah is about cherut, then the karoset, in that case, is about the tit. But in the situation where the matzah is about about the Gnut part of the story than the Charoset is about the Tanaya, the Shashirim component of it.
Exactly. In other words, that the dipping into the Charoset for the Rambam, which happens in different places, is always a way of, what I like to call, it's a way of activating, the Charoset is a kind of a catalyst, okay? So that when you put anything into the Charoset, it catalyzes the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of it. And the Charoset, which carries along with it dimensions of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in its own right, now you have this fascinating concoction between the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of the Charoset and the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of Achilas Matzah, which, as Mark so correctly pointed out, could be viewed from a variety of different perspectives. And that's undoubtedly what the Rambam had in mind. Again, for the Ravid never caught on to the fact that the Charoset was a din in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But for the Rambam, it's a perfect integration. And once you do the groundwork and you realize mitzvah of matzah has two dimensions around it. It's a mitzvah of achilas matzah qua achilas matzah, and then there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah qua sipur yitzias mitzrayim, so then of course it integrates with the charoset. It's the perfect integration. So, and each of them stress, perhaps, different dimensions. We already know for the Rambam that the sipur yitzias mitzrayim component of the matzah does run both ways, not unlike the charoset itself. Okay, because you have the sacrificing lechem mishnah for it to be lechem oni, but at the same time you have hesepa. So the very moment where you're consuming the matzah, the mitzvah achilas matzah, all of the sipur yetzias mitzrayim components are mixing together in this amazing mix. Yeah, Mark and then Jacob had a question.
Why would the Rivet be so angry about that? In other words, like, it's fine, so you could say, is it okay? So, you know, it's not...
But he felt that you were...
No.
Well, on the scale of it's true. This is, on the scale of the Ravid's insult to the Rambam, this is what I'd like to call a level 2 insult. The level 1 insults is usually when he'll say, and it's actually, he says it more than once, where he says, I've never heard anything more ridiculous in my life, that I call a level 1 insult. Zehebel just means, this is ridiculous, but I've heard more ridiculous things from the same person, so, you know, I'm not going to get that upset about it. But the Ravid here was two steps behind the Rambam. The Ravid was one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim of his generation, as we know. But here the Ravid missed two things. He missed, A, what the Rambam... I don't know if he had the Perush on Mishnah, but he missed that the fact that the Rambam had worked through this his whole life. And finally, the Rambam had this a huge breakthrough, right, where he redefined Charoset from a mitzvah Sachila to a mitzvah Sikur. He missed that piece in the Rambam. And then he also missed the piece in the Rambam that the Rambam has this very complex view of achilas matzah as having two components. So absent that, he just thinks that the whole thing is ridiculous. There's no Gemara which possibly indicates that you do this. Right? The Gemara says you dip the marah in the charoset, but he just thinks that this is totally unprecedented, it makes no sense. Whereas for the Rambam, schematically, it just works out beautifully. And, you know, the Ravid's vitriol belies his what's that?
What's the harm? Well,
I'll tell you what, there's a big harm.
Because he's not experiencing the matzah in total.
The Gemara says there's a chi of a ta'a matzah. You have to have a taste of matzah. So, and again, the Rambam himself is sensitive to that. How do you know the Rambam is sensitive to that? Point out a makor in the Rambam, the Rambam himself is concerned about the charoset's over. Exactly, he says that you always have to be careful. So why would you possibly risk contaminating your mitzvah achilas matzah with charoset? Why are you playing with? I wouldn't say you're playing with fire, but why are you playing with dates and figs? Don't mess around with the charoset. And you know when Jews.
Exactly,
because the marah is even more of a risk because, you know, people don't want to have that burning taste. But again, there's a mitzvah of tamatz, the mitzvah of tamarah, and so, you know, the Ravid's point of view is, you know, you're allowing a bunch of hungry Jews to get their hands on charoset, you know, they'll never be the kind of mitzvah of matzah in their life. Sharon? So I think the Rambam, there is no din of achilas charoset. Eating charoset of its own accord is meaningless. Oh, so I think for the Rambam, it wouldn't be the same. In other words, that the sipur Yetzias, the way that I like to think of it, is that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of the matzah itself is activated by the charoses. It could have been, but I think that for the Rambam, I'm just descriptively, I think that when you put it on, when you put the charoses onto the matzah, what that does is it brings out the it's sort of like, I'm not a culinary expert, but sometimes foods have tastes, have subtle tastes that are only brought out when you expose them to other things. So I think that for the Rambam, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim components of the matzah are activated by the charoses. And that's why you need to do them together.
But only together?
Right. You wouldn't be able to do that separately. Because it has to take place at the moment of mitzvah achilas matzah. It's a radical idea, I agree. Mark, take care.
Why is that so? I just don't understand. This whole catalyst thing just seems like a backfilling an explanation. Like, I mean, if matzah has two components to it, it has two components of it, why does it need a catalyst to bring out two?
Well, there could be a number of possible explanations for that. One of them is that the actual mitzvah of achilas matzah is at risk of overwhelming the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of the achilas matzah.
I mean, but you're eating it as say, but that's sort of a visual.
True.
You can't miss that.
True.
Right. I mean, maybe you miss the lechamoni stuff.
Or maybe it's just more ambitious. Or you're combining all the dimensions of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim together. Sorry. Chai Kasher V'Sameach. Oh, maybe I'll see you on Shabbos. Oh, okay.
It wouldn't disturb me at all if this was being presented as like anything else you might do or a prophet would say there that you do to enrich Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But he's making this sort of a mitzvah, so without this it doesn't work.
I wouldn't say that it's ma'akev. I think that would be taking it too far. I don't think it's ma'akev, but I think the Rambam certainly thinks that it enhances it. Where you have all the different components of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim coming together. In other words, you have the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim components of the Achilas Matzah, and then coupled with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of the Charoses. So and the Rambam apparently wasn't overly concerned that it would obviate the ta'am of the Matzah, that you could do it in proportion. And he thought there was some benefit to doing this together. The Ravid either was deeply concerned about, the ta'am of the Matzah being lost, and therefore, or he just thought, I think more to the point, Zehebel, there's no gain here. So, for the Rambam, there was a clear gain because, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of Achilas Matzah and the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Charoses are integrating together.
I would be very sympathetic to the Rabbi's position if what he said was, that's nice, but it doesn't mean you need to do it. Like, you can if you want, but in other words, it's the prescriptive part, which seems like it's kind of just creating something, creating a...
You mean you'd be very sympathetic to the Rambam's point of view?
No, yeah. In other words, if the Ravid's criticism right. was, in other words, calling it Hevel is, if he said Lo Halacha, would be like, that's sort of fine.
But it doesn't speak like that. He doesn't usually speak.
Yeah, but what he means by Zehevel is there's no source for it, and why would you possibly do it? Meaning, I don't think he appreciated it.
But I can see why he would possibly do it. I think the legitimate objection is telling people to do it as though it's...
Well, but again, for the Ravid, I don't even think he caught on to the Rambam's point of view here about the integration of Charoses as a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim component of the matzah.
Okay.
I think that's why he says, Zehevel, which basically makes no sense. Okay, so in any event, so just to conclude, and then it's our 6-week series. I think that the basic idea here was to try to see from the Psukim through the Gemaras, through the Rishonim, and then, with the insights of the Rav that we did this week, some of these things added on to them a little bit, that, how the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has developed and all of the subtleties of it, and to see how it creeps up in different ways, really throughout the Seder, and to appreciate how matzah fits into that framework, and how charoses fits into that framework, and how the actual learning and the discussion fits into that framework, and hopefully that all comes together to enhance, in some way, the experience that we have on Pesach. And again, the preparation, as we spoke about, at the very beginning of Nisan, 30 days actually before, so it's still out there. Hopefully that factors into the spiritual experience of the holiday itself. Okay. Hold it up there. I think Jacob had a question.
Well,